hearing by the word of God. Amen. So there in Proverbs chapter 16, it's our foundational text for this teaching. Verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Amplified says this way, roll thy works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. What a powerful scripture, that I can get to a place in my relationship with God where my thoughts are in agreeable with his will, that he will cause my thoughts to become agreeable with his will, so that the plans that I birth will be established and succeed. So last night we began to talk about the faith that transforms your thinking. Faith that transforms your thinking. Now, this is one of the lessons that God taught me years ago when I was in the little small raggedy building. I like to call it the University of Faith, because this is where God taught me faith. And I learned faith from a lot of other faith teachers. Y'all know that. But before I got there to the other faith teachers, God began to instruct me in some principles of faith. And so the Lord told me to go and take this message of faith that he taught me to others. And that's why I'm traveling this year to do so. Now, tonight, as we talk about faith to transform my thinking, now we've talked about faith, of course, over the past, in the past, faith, you know, to be healed, and faith, you know, for prosperity, and faith for this, faith. But there is a faith process that can radically change how you think. Now, I am not presenting this as the only process for the transformation of your thinking, but it is the process that God taught me, and of course, you know, the results, you can see them. Amen. So there in the little place there, God spoke to me and began to talk to me. Now, I say to the critics, just because you may have arrived at a place in your thinking without some intentional effort, that does not give you the right to deny me an intentional effort to arrive at a place where my thinking is transformed. Yeah, so just because you didn't do this and you say your thinking is transformed, we're no whoopee-doo. But you can't deny me a process that is scripturally based that will transform my thinking. Amen. Amen. So now, when we talk about transformed thinking, we can see it in the scripture that though I get born again, my thinking doesn't change. I am a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. At salvation, my spirit is made alive to God. John 3:3 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when I get born again, my spirit becomes alive to God, but my soul is not changed and my body is not changed. We said on last night, the five components of my soul, my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. My mind, my will, my imagination, my emotion, and my intellect. Everybody say he's still reviewing. Yeah. Now, Romans chapter 12, let's go there, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. So I can see obvious that my mind was not transformed at the point of salvation, because Paul in Romans chapter 12 is writing to believers. And he's telling the believers that their minds need to be transformed. Go to 3 John 2. 3 John 2, we looked at that on last night as well, because I can see now that my soul and my mind, of course, we use those interchangeably, but I can see that God gives instructions to me after being born again that I have to do something with my mind, with my soul. All right, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and Be in health, even as thou what? So so I can see a process. That my soul grows. Process. Of course, there's another passage that talks about the saving of the soul, because I need to understand this transformation is a process. Transformation of my thinking is a process. When my mind is transformed, or when my thinking is transformed, then it affects my relative perspective, how I view things. You got it? Because I bring how I view things. I bring my old mentality out of the world into the church. That's why we can have so much mess in churches, because folk ain't thinking right. You understand? Because they brought that street mentality into the church. They brought that get over mentality into the church. Because however I thought before I got saved, that's the way I think after I get saved, until I intentionally cause the transformation of my thinking. Amen. So my perspective, how I judge things, how I look at things, is going to be the way it was when I was outside the church before I got born again, and it's going to be that way until it's transformed. Now, once my thinking is transformed, I'm going to look at things really through the eye of faith, through the eye of the scripture. You follow me? How God thinks. All right. Secondly, a transformed mind has to do with my reasoning process. And we went through that on last night, talking about deliberation and all of that. My reasoning process, because I am going to be prone to reason and make decisions based on what the Word of God says. Based on what the Word of God says. So it affects my relative perspective. It affects my reasoning process, and it affects my reachable possibilities. Everybody say reachable possibilities. In other words, what I believe is possible is affected by how I think. Amen. Now, so the importance of this lesson, I can't stress it enough, because when my thinking is changed, it is not, and my thinking is transformed, it is not that for every situation I gotta sit down and ponder it.
I love it, Miss.
But when my thinking is changed, making righteous choices, making revolutionary choices, is really something that comes pretty much automatic, because that's the way I am. That's the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right. So when my thinking change, I change.
Right.
Jesus. Amen and amen. Last night, everybody say, he's still reviewing. No, I got to bring you on with me, because when we get down to this other, you know, I don't want you to be going, I want you to be right there with me. Now, we talked about the mental complex, and years ago, God taught me this, because he taught me about the mental complex. And we said there on last night that the mental complex is made up of the conscious mind, where I consciously think through things. Secondly, the subconscious, this is my automatic pilot, that so when I've done something on a conscious level, it is transferred now to be carried out by my subconscious. My subconscious, watch this now, the third element of that, this is how God taught me, is my conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, which is my moral compass, or the standard by which I live and I judge things. Now, when I consciously began to do things or process things a certain way, my subconscious takes it over, and it does it pretty much on an automatic basis, all right? Based on what has been consciously placed in my conscience. And it locks on to it, and that's what keeps me from being schizophrenic, because I'm going to be consistent. So this process of me doing what I do automatically is not quickly changed. Right? So there has to be a process to change that, so that when we're talking about a transformed mind, we're saying, hey, you think like this automatically. You don't have to go to the scripture for everything. Why? Because you put the word on the inside of you.
Uh-huh.
You follow me? And your thinking is changed. Amen and amen. Now. A reasoning process. Now, God taught me, and I don't think, people always say it, and they're true. I don't think like most folk think. My thinking got transformed. I used to be a very pessimistic person. Hard for people to believe that. Very pessimistic, very wimpish. Hard to believe that. Yeah, very wimpish. But that's the way I was before God gave me a boldness through a process. Everybody say through a process. Now, let's do this. When we talked on the liberation last night, y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
And if they'll put the graphic up now, we said that at the deliberation table, there are several factors there. My mind is there to give reasoning, or my intellect is there to present its case on whatever matter I'm deliberating to the will. It presents the reasoning component. Secondly, we said there is the emotions, how I feel about something. And many people are governing their decision-making by how they feel. I just don't feel well. You know, your feelings can get you in all kind of trouble. Amen. And then there is the flesh. And the flesh, the Bible says, in my flesh dwelleth no good things. If I follow my flesh, which is really has a bent toward the enemy, I'm going to really get messed up. But then we said the spirit is there. And the spirit is there by way of the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. And he's there to give me directions based on the word of God. If I say stay with him, you might need to get the CD from last night, because he's giving us the capsulized version. All right, now watch this. Whatever the will has been saturated with information from these four factors, whatever the will has been saturated with, then that's the way it's going to judge the matter. Got it? If you've been saturated with emotions, then you're going to always make emotional decisions. If you've been saturated with logic and intellect, then that's going to override everything else. Got it? If you've been saturated with the flesh, got it? And the flesh don't ever want to do what God says, then that's how you're going to go. But if you have been saturated, watch this now, with the word of God in your spirit, then that's going to overrule all of the others. Your will is going to side with the word, and then your will is going to overrule all of the other arguments at the table. Amen. Now, yeah, praise the Lord. All right, now. We sat down in transforming my thinking. There is several ways of doing it. Three basic ways that we gave. Number one is the acquisition of information. The acquisition of information. That is, you know, by education, my thinking can be transformed. Secondly, we said by association of inspiration. In other words, hanging around a lot of people who will inspire you. That is one way of transforming your thinking. But the way we are focusing on is this affirmation of innovation. Everybody say affirmation of innovation. Now, hush the person that says, stay with him. Yeah, we just got on the ride. You can't be looking glassy-eyed now. Yeah, we just got on the ride. Now, watch this now, because, see, this is what God taught me. You see, because these other, I'm not saying that through intense education, your thinking can be transformed. I am not saying that through exposure your thinking cannot be transformed, because it can. But this affirmation is an acceleration of your thinking being transformed. Amen. All right, now remember we said Abraham was selected by God in chapter 12. And, man, he had a visitation from the Lord. Not only does he have a visitation from the Lord, but in Genesis 15, he has revelation from the Lord. He has visitation, he has revelation, and many times more than once, yet his thinking is not changed. All right? Because after visitation from the Lord and revelation from the Lord about the promises of God for his life, he still comes up with an alternate plan with Hagar. So it's obvious that, you know, his thinking hadn't changed. So from the time God talks to him at 75, got it, to the time the promise is delivered, you know, at 100, he's going through some situations now where his thinking, though he has revelation, though he has, oh my God, though he has a visitation, his thinking is not changed. That's where a lot of Christians are. Nobody's doubting that you know the Lord. But your thinking ain't changed. Amen. Amen. No, nobody's doubting that you had a genuine experience with the Lord. But that doesn't necessarily automatically change your thinking. Right. So then, what changed his thinking? We can, in the, when we look at the scriptures, we can see a marked difference in something that changed his thinking, and that was when God changed his name. See, God had me making confessions before I understood confessions. No. See, God, see, you're, it's easy now. That's what makes this lesson almost a lesson where you're just sitting there going, oh, I understand confession. Well, you may understand it, but are you doing it? I mean, do you have a do you really understand the power of your tongue? The average believer does not. And we've let it slip, you see. But God had me making confessions back there in the little raggedy building before I understood I had a revelation on confession. You see, because a law will work whether you understand the law or not. You don't have to understand the law of gravity for gravity to work. You jump off that balcony, you may not understand you are falling at a rate of 32 feet per second, but you are. Got it? So God had me doing this. I did not understand it. I was doing it out of obedience. And then later I got revelation on it where I could teach it so others could do it. All right. So God, watch this, changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Now why? It wasn't that God didn't like the sound of Abram. When he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, he was now calling him, and Abram was calling himself father of nations. Though he had not yet received the promised seed, he is now calling things that be not as though they were. Same thing with his wife, changed her name from Sarai to Sarah, mother of many, though she was not in reality mother of any. Amen. You got to understand. Now they're doing this, and in less than a year, what they had been struggling to do for 24 years, after the name is changed, watch this, after their name is changed, thinking is changed, watch this, and they produce the promised seed. We see a man who goes from doubt and lying and all this other stuff to a man now who is ready to take the promised seed in Genesis 22 and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. I don't think you understand that. Now he hears from God to offer him as a sacrifice. He doesn't argue with God. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't put up any debate with God, but he tells the boy and the servant, let's go. Now you're talking about a man whose thinking has been transformed. It's almost like this ain't the same Abraham. That's right. This ain't the same boy back there was doing all that lying and doing all that. This ain't the same fella. His thinking has changed. Watch this. To the point that he believes, according to Hebrews, that he can take this boy, put him on the altar with the knife, cut him up, and then burn him up. And God will raise him from the ashes. Everybody say that's a transformed thinker. All right, now, right. So confession has thinking transformation capacity. Amen. But your conviction on this will produce the resolve to commit to the process.
My Lord.
See, what I said sounded all good, and, you know, I put the right emphasis in the right place. But unless you got a conviction on it, you're going to walk out of here with the same negative mouth that you walked in here with. Go to Proverbs 27. Y'all know I saved this from yesterday. I was going to go with that, but then I had to save it from yesterday. But I want you to go to Proverbs 27 because I love you, but, you know, tonight may be a little rough. Only because I love you. Amen. Are y'all ready? Look at verse 5. Yes, indeed. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of the bishop, of a friend. But the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. So tonight I'm going to say some things that's kind of rough. But it's only so you can check your mouth. Because you got a negative mouth. You got an inconsistent mouth. And because your mouth is so inconsistent, watch this, then you're not releasing the right force of faith to get things done. And you find yourself working against yourself. Amen, amen. All right. As I said now, I changed so radically back then, people thought I lost my mind. Because I went one day from being, I call it po mouth. I'd tell you everything wrong. I was the victim. Everybody was against me. Things wasn't working right for me. You just asked me. In fact, that's why I like things. Some people want to avoid me. Because, man, it was bad. It was bad, and I'll tell you how bad it was. I'll tell you how long it's been bad. I got to tell you, I ain't got no hope for the future. Now, I know y'all looking at me today can't hardly even believe I was like that, but that's how I was. Why? I had been conditioned to want sympathy. I wanted people to feel sorry for me. Poor me. Poor hear you. You got it? But I got a revelation from the Word of God that I did not need sympathy to get where I'm trying to go. To get where I needed to go, I needed the supernatural hand of God to take me there. Watch this. And it would be my mouth that would move his hand.
That's good. That's good.
Jesus. All right. So now we are up to today's lesson. All right. What is this intentional purpose of the transformed thinker? Why does God want your thinking transformed? That's the question. It is because this partnership that God needs, the proven partnership of transformed thinkers. In other words, when God wants to do something in the earth, he's got to do it through somebody. Follow me? He's got to do it through somebody. Now, we know, I've read it to you before, Ezekiel 22, it says, I'm looking for a person, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, so that, the judgment wouldn't come, couldn't find anybody, therefore the judgment had to run its course, which proves God is looking for somebody in the earth to partner with. Because what he wants to bring to pass in the earth, he cannot do it without human participation. So the reason God wants your thinking transformed is so that he can partner with you, so that he can bring his will to pass in your life and have you affecting other lives. Amen, 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 amen. So, he finds Moses. Moses' mind is messed up at first. Moses can think of all the negative things in the world. My Lord, I can't talk. You don't want to use me. But he goes from that to being a transformed thinker, standing in front of a sea with a rod and believing it's going to part. Everybody say a transformed thinker. Gideon, God talks to Gideon initially. His mind was not transformed. Gideon was talking about how broke he was, how bad off his family was. But he goes from that, taking 300 men against 135,000, and gets the victory. So God's looking for somebody who will get their thinking transformed so that he can partner with them for something supernatural.
Yeah.
Amen. Your excitement, your enthusiasm overwhelms me. So God found me. Jesus. He found me in this little raggedy building at a very low point in my life when everybody had counted me out, including me. Because I had never seen anybody recover from what I was going through. I'd never seen anybody recover. So I didn't think I could recover. And now God, in my 5x5 closet office, he visits me and he talks to me and he begins to personally train me. Jesus. Amen, amen. And now, not that I'm all that and I'm so much. I thank God by his grace. He didn't leave me in the state that I was. Somebody ought to be say amen in here that by his grace, he didn't leave you where you were. Thank God you in here and you not out there where you used to be. He began to have me confess. Now, I told you, I'm confessing now. If they can't put the little raggedy bill up, in that little bill, I'm confessing I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I eat the best. I live in the best. I drive the best. I go first class in life. My God supplies all my needs. Now, watch this now. Here's what's going on. I'm calling things that be as though they were. I want you to stay with me now, because what I'm getting ready to flow into is the principle, this intentional principle. Because I believe when you understand the principle, then, of course, I think you'll have a greater conviction to do it, see. Now, I had the conviction totally based on obedience. This is what God said do. Almost like when I was meditating, when God had me going down to the big church in First Baptist Church, and when he was teaching me how to meditate, I had no scripture references for. I'm doing it simply because God told me. And so I'm doing all this talking. I'm confessing, you know, this, and I'm the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. My God supplies all my needs. Favor God's on my life, blah, 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 blah. I'm saying all of this, and folks said, that boy, the pressure has gotten to him. Pressure has gotten to him. And he's a little off. Now, my home church pastor got up on a Sunday morning and says, now, y'all need to pray for Ira. He's a little off. And he got Bridget caught up in that. Now, watch this. Go to Romans chapter 4, because I want you to see this. If transformed thinking, thank you, Lord, speaks the end result. Got it? If faith speaks the end result, and faith, watch this, is used to obtain the promises of God and to obtain the will of God in my life, and if it's the will of God for me to have a transformed mind, then why can't I use my faith for my mind transfer by calling things that be as though they were? You mean I can speak to my body and expect it to change for healing? Why can't I speak to my mind and expect it to be transformed also? Hallelujah. All right, now watch this. Romans chapter 4. Did I tell y'all go there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Romans chapter 4. All right, watch this. Because this is how God works. All right, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom believed, even God who quickened the dead, calleth those things which be not as what? As though they were. Called things be not as though we were. Called things be not as though they were. Because what God was saying when he spoke to Abraham, changed his name to Abraham, he was now, watch this, calling the end result. He was calling the end result. In other words, you are father of nations. That's how God saw him. I made you to be that. Now, you're not that at this point. But faith called things that be not as though they were, Jesus. Okay. Look at Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene. This woman is bent over. Got it? He walks up to the girl and says, woman, thou art loosed. No, she ain't. She bent over.
Yeah.
But he calls the end result. You're loosed.
Right.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So God in Genesis sees the darkness, but he doesn't agree with the darkness. He calls for the light. Because it's the nature of God to call things that be as though they were. Go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. I want you to get this. I want you to get it. Because, see, when you start doing this, it's going to look silly. And to be consistent and to see results, you got to stay with it. Everybody say, stay with it. All right? Isaiah 46, 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. All right, what makes you so different, God? Declaring the end from the beginning. Right? He not only knows the end, but he declares the end from the beginning. Are you listening? So now, when I'm there saying all my needs are met, I'm declaring
the end
from my beginning. See, now what I'm saying, when I say my needs are met now, got it? I am not making a faith declaration. It's fact. See, when I used to confess the word of God on blessing the Lord, making me rich. Well, when I say that, I'm rich. I just got to test the water, see how far I can go, because some of y'all can't handle that, you understand? No, I used to confess I'd be rich. I used to tell all the preachers, you watch, one day I'll be one of the richest preachers around. And they say, that boy, we know he broke. Look at what he driving. Look at how he rolled. They already knew. They'd follow me out to my car and make fun of me. Now, last night, y'all saw the little raggedy car I was driving. And they followed me out. Here, that's your car? You in there doing all that talking? This what you're driving? They don't understand what's going on. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm going to live in my future. I might as well live in a future that I designed with the power of my tongue. I didn't step off of my confession because of them. And you can't step off of your confession because other folk don't understand. We call things that be not.
Yes.
That's how we do it. We call things that be not as though they were. So, you know, a couple of years ago when it was, media was coming after me because of the helicopter blades and all that sort of thing. And a guy goes out in front of the hangar and our church hangar and he says, he is rich. Like that's a put down. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I ain't never told nobody I'm broke. You don't be broke giving $100,000.
My Lord.
Twice a year, you can't be broke doing that. If so, some of y'all say, make me broke just like him. That's broke, make me broke just like him. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, we call things that be not, and be not as though they were, because that's God's way. And now that's why, so, when I'm there in the hospital, my body is racked with pain, and God says, call your pastor to pray for you.
Yeah.
You could call your pastor. So I'm thinking, well, Pastor Bridget. He said, no, call your daughter.
My Lord.
Yeah. Oh, y'all, yeah. 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 They got a picture up there. Yeah. Call your daughter. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I was in so much pain, whatever God told me to do, I'm going to do. I mean, the doctor already told me, he said, now, the first couple of days, Bishop, going to be real rough. He says, we're going to do our best to medicate you. But he was letting me know, you're going to go through it, brother. And boy, they was giving me some stuff that they said was stronger than morphine. It wasn't helping a bit. Wasn't helping a bit. In fact, I try to make light of it. Say, y'all trying to torture me or something? Which I want to know. I tell you, I just tell you. But when the Lord told me that, he said, I'll call your daughter. Well, now what he's done now, one day, watch this, in the future, he had already told me she's to be my successor. So when he spoke that to me on my bed of where I'm, you know, recovering, you follow me? I already understand that. That's how he operates. Because he sees her. Are y'all getting this? So now watch this. I tell Bridge, tell Irisha get here, she needs to pray for me. The Lord told me that to call my pastor, and he said he's my pastor. So now she come in, and I tell her, the Lord said, you're my pastor, and you got to pray for me. now to confirm his word. Jesus. That girl dropped everything, laid her hands on me, and that pain left. What all medication could not do. What they had been struggling to try to do all day long. With all kind of pills and all kind of medication in the IV, left like that, and then God spoke to me and said, I have my hands on her. I will use her mightily. All I said was, amen. I'm thankful I'm pain free, Jesus. Everybody say, calling things to be not as though they were. Now. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Because in order to do this consistently, you've got to understand the potential of being this a transformed thinker. Your potential of being a transformed thinker. And it's based on the word of God. That's where my confidence comes from. Because he tells me there in verse 8, finally, my brother, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, everything, but whatsoever things are true. Everybody say, whatsoever things are true. All right, now, let's go to John 17:17. Because I have to understand what's true. What's true with God is what his word says. So if his word says this, then it's true. Hey, glory. Shout all by myself. All right, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's true? The word is true. Everybody say the word is true. You got to accept that word true. So he says, and I go back to Philippians chapter four, because we found out what truth is. Truth for the believer is what the word of God says. Not what CNN says. Not what some popular, talk show person says. You got it? And I ain't hating on them. I'm just saying that ain't truth to me. What's true to me is what the word of God says. All right. So it says, finally, my brother. Ooh, hurry. All right. Finally. It's here. All right. Finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of what? Good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? That's where my thoughts ought to be. So my thoughts ought to be consumed with the truth. And what's the truth, class? What's the truth, class? What's the truth, class? Word of God. See, so I was persuaded that truth for me was not what I was seeing around me. That was only fact. My broke condition was not truth. My empty church was not truth. Truth for me had to become what the word of God says. Look at the person and say, he looking right at you. Tell him he looking right at you. He looking right at you. Amen. And that's what has to happen, see, because you can't continue because I ain't got nothing. Well, that's fat. You ain't got nothing, bro. The truth is, all your needs are met.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah.
Now, can you have the discipline to speak the truth? Under pressure. It's easy to do it in here because this is class. But we're talking about under pressure. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Transformed thinker, has a certain thinking about the sovereignty of God, that he's supreme. He's a God over all. Transformed thinker has a thinking about the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is my helper. Amen. So I think this way. So you go through the word of God and you pull out of the word of God the truth of what these things are. A transformed thinker, what he thinks about the devil, is he under my feet?
Yeah.
I have authority over him. At the name of Jesus, he flees. Yeah. So I'm not afraid of the devil. Yeah. My thinking has been transformed now. Remember, I can go right here. Where have you going now? Put your ribbon there and let's go now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Because we're showing you the undercurrent of how this works. You saying it, but something is happening in you as you say it. Jesus. Yeah, when you saying it, something is happening in you. All right. So here in the context of this teaching about worry, Jesus makes a very powerful statement there in verse 30 and 31. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, everybody say therefore. I says, therefore, take no thought saying. So, that's how I take a thought. I take thoughts by saying them. Now, the devil can shoot all kind of thoughts in my mind because we found out yesterday he has the ability to shoot thoughts. There's some thoughts that come from him, but as long as I don't say it, I didn't take it. But when I say it, I'm taking thought. And when I start taking thought, I'm transforming my thinking. You got it? So now I understand these are not words that are just hitting the air. When I'm speaking words, I'm taking thought. This is a process of accelerated thinking transformation. Jesus. Woo, preaching my own self happy. Amen, amen. And boy, I tell you, I changed. Back then, I changed. Oh, God, I changed. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go there. Boy, I changed. Man, they didn't understand me. I couldn't explain it. But I knew I was following God. Yeah. Amen. So, see, when you start confessing the word of God, what are you doing? You're feeding God's word down in. That's saturation. You're feeding his word down into you. And remember, we found out that the spirit man at the deliberation table is going to be the deciding factor if there's been saturation. So you're going to start making decisions automatically because you're going to start thinking righteous. You think supernatural. You don't think failure. You think success. But it just didn't happen. Nobody can just lay hands on your head and you go, No. Process. Everybody say process. But the process is left up to you. So what you gonna do? Keep talking about how raggedy the car is and how nobody won't help you. You calling that. And whatever you call, that's what it's gonna be. I say what you got to lose. Let's get a little boldness in us. Hey. And let's open our mouths and say what God's word says. My God supplies all my needs. Mine is at the table saying, you fool, you gonna believe that stuff here you said? Spirit said, he didn't say it, the word said it. He just told you about it. Oh, you listening to him? Yeah. Logic. How long you think it's going to work? How long you think I have to say it for it to work? Huh? How long? Because, see, they at the table to try to get you out of this supernatural flow. You got to have the willingness to go, if it takes me all my life, if I'm willing to wait all my life, I won't have to wait all my life. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's say that you're getting advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. Everybody say, I'm not fooled by the devil's strategy. All right, now, there is this predatory perversion of the transformation of my thinking. The devil knows how powerful this is. So he doesn't sit back and just let you get this. So he works to try to distract you so that you won't receive this whole process. His strategy, number one, is I call the ignorance strategy. And that's when you hear folks, oh, it don't take all that. They'd rather be religious than have a revelation. I've been in church all my life. We ain't never do nothing like that. Yeah, and that's why you're broke. Yeah, that's why you're in your state you're in. Because you've not applied the supernatural principle from the Word of God to cause a transformation in your thinking and your situation. And so it's that the ignorance strategy. The devil wants to keep you ignorant, wants to keep you ignoring a revelation. Number two is the intimidation strategy, and that is the persecution that comes when you do it. I am not saying that you'll be able to do this and everybody will stand up and applaud you. But I am saying that when you do it, the persecutors are going to come out of from every, oh, okay, you've been over there, we're hearing, huh?
Come on, there you go. Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah, they come at you. But persecution is only affected to the degree you need acceptance by the folk who talking. If you don't need their acceptance, what they say don't matter. Hallelujah. And in that little raggedy place, I understood this is only temporary. I'm coming out of here. And I'm going to come out with my mouth. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm going to make it with my mouth. Now tell them, I'm making it with my mouth. I'm making it with my mouth. That's how powerful this thing is, you see. And, all right, so there's the ignorance strategy. There's the intimidation strategy. Watch this. And then there's the indifference strategy. Then the indifference strategy has to do with, oh, that's okay, but that ain't for me. It's devalued postponement. It's, okay, that's all right. But, it's like it's optional. Yeah, okay, praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, all right. That was good teaching, that first thing. But I got to tell the truth. I got to tell the truth. All this calling thing to be 9 a.m. I got to tell the truth. I don't know. I can't do all of that. That's chanting. I can't do all that chanting. No, that's what they used to say about me. He's a chanter. You know, he go there, you go there, they chant. Because we'd have a confession. See, they not scripturally on. So they say, he's chanting.
Wow.
Now let me show you how hypocritical people are. A person goes out who has a pet, a dog. The dog is not there. And they go, give me the name of a dog.
Yogi Spot,
Prince. Here's Spot. Here's Spot. You lying? Spot ain't here. You lying? Spot ain't here. You're out here saying Spot here. Here's Spot. Where's Spot? Spot ain't here. Now, if you're going to call everything like it is, you can't go here Spot because here Spot ain't here. But in that arena, you understand if I keep saying here Spot, wherever Spot is, Spot's going to come. So don't tell me you can't do it because you're already doing it. I'm trying to get you to do it over in this arena because if I keep calling my prosperity, if I keep calling my healing, if I keep calling my deliverance, if I keep calling my peace, even though it's not here now, I know if I keep calling it, it's on the way. Ignorance strategy. Intimidation strategy won't work. The indifference strategy won't work. Watch this. And then he has this insignificant strategy. That's when he works against your low self-esteem. Your poor self-esteem. Yeah, they won't work for me. It ain't work somebody else. They don't work for me. Why not? Who's not the Bible? Who's this not written for? So don't let you talk yourself out of it. And then the strategy that gets most folk is this inconsistent strategy. You do it for a little while. You ain't fully committed. A little pressure causes you to give it up. Just a little pressure causes you to give it up. All right. Anybody getting blessed tonight? Amen. All right now. Let's go to now this intentional principle for transformation thinking. Let's now see if we can't break this principle open. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. If we can't break it open and find out a little bit more about it. And as we continue in the word, we develop discipline. John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, truth make you free. So we continue. Everybody say, we continue tonight. Yeah, we continue, because I got to get this. If I can get this, man, whew, things can change for me. All right, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curse everyone hanging on a tree. That's the blessing of Abraham. I come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How?
Through faith.
Through faith. How do we receive the promises?
Through faith.
Through how?
Through
what? We receive promises through faith for principles and all that. That's, you know, that, my faith is how I receive things. So if transformed thinking is the will of God for my life, I have a right to receive it by what?
Faith.
By my faith. I have a right to receive it by my faith. I think I can move through this real quickly. When we look at how faith causes transformation, or my point is the demonstration of transformation faith, when the sea was all at tops of turbo, Jesus spoke to it. It transformed. It was at peace. When the boy was filled with a demon spirit, Jesus spoke to the spirit, and the spirit came out of him, and the situation was transformed. Time and time in Scripture, we see that when sickness and disease was there, it was transformed by faith. Amen. The common denominator in all of these faith episodes is the spoken word.
Yeah, Bishop.
Uh-huh. Oh, y'all missed it.
Yeah.
Everybody say it's the spoken word.
Spoken word.
All right, so I got to begin to value the spoken word, because it is systematic. That's why I need systematic faith teaching. See, my assignment is to teach you faith. That's what my assignment is. And it's a systematic way that I need to learn how to operate, because there's a spiritual focus, the spiritual force of my tongue. John 6:63 says, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. So my words, I can understand, it's more than sound reverberating on the ear, but there's spirit life going out of my mouth when I speak.
Uh-huh.
Everybody say spirit life.
Spirit life.
Amen, amen, it's spirit life. That spirit life that goes out of my mouth, the Bible says, gives me authority over the devil. See, remember, I'm a spirit being. Now, the whole reason I took you that through that foundation is so you understand who you are. You're a spirit who lives inside of a physical body, and you possess a soul. So you have the ability to contact the realm of the spirit. You have that ability to contact the realm of the spirit. You have that ability because you are a spirit being. You can do business in the spirit realm. That is why when you speak, a demon in the spirit realm will respond, because the power of your spirit word.
Yes, sir.
Not only that, angels go to work when you speak.
Right.
So I got to understand that when I'm speaking, it's just not sound, so I can appreciate the power of my tongue. Amen.
Amen.
So spiritual forces go to work when I speak. Now go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. We're almost there, y'all, for tonight. Yeah, we're almost there. Amen. Anybody getting blessed?
Yeah.
Amen. So see, I would rather take upon myself this, because you don't have nothing to lose. Take on myself this principle and start speaking it. Start speaking it. And you got to understand, everybody ain't going to applaud you right away. They are not going to applaud you right away. So I'm just telling you, it's not something, you know, when you start saying, all my needs are met. You're just lying, because I'm... Well, if y'all need met, then you're going to pay me my money. Oh, Lord. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his
heart.
So as he thinketh in his
heart.
So as he thinketh in his
heart.
So while he says, so the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, well, so is he. But thinking takes place. My spirit has a part of the thinking process. All right? Now, go with me to the Bible. Let's look at another passage while we're there. Let's look there in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 10. Hurry, because I want to stay with my time tonight. Romans chapter 10. Verse 8. But what saith he? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He says, watch this. He says, the word's near to you. Where's the word? In my mouth and in my heart. It's in my mouth first before it gets down in my heart. See, this is a two-way street, the mouth and the heart, the mouth and the spirit man. Everybody say it's a two-way street. I go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It's a two-way street. It's in my mouth. See, the word's not in me. Where? In my mouth, in my heart. In my mouth, in my heart. In my mouth, in my heart. It's first in my mouth, and when I say it, it goes down in my heart. What did I tell you? Luke 6. All right. All right, it says, verse 4-5. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in abundance in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. I like to say it like this, under pressure. That's why, you know, somebody, you know, they nailing something and they hit their finger and then they cuss. I don't know where that came from. I know where it came from. That ain't the first time you cuss. Now you can say whatever you want to, but the Bible says what's in the abundance of your heart is going to spill out of your mouth. Everybody say under pressure or pain. Amen. The word is now thee in my mouth and then in my heart. And then whatever in my heart in abundance going to come out of my mouth. Amen. Amen. Whew. So then, oh, Jesus, let's move on. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, y'all know this passage. And then I got to wrap up, Jesus. So the discipline of transformation faith is that I got to understand this and I got to do it. I got to start evaluating my tongue. What am I saying? What am I saying? My words are too powerful to be idle. What I said in my mouth, I'm not saying. Listen, I am not saying that, you know, you got to be some stuck up, you know, spiritual person that you can't even laugh. I ain't laughing. You follow me? You know, that's not what the Bible means when it talks about an idle word. Right. Idle word is an unproductive word right. On your situation. It ain't saying, you know, that you got to be to the point where, you know, I can't say that. You say that. Oh, no, that's not what he's talking about. I'm talking about you ought to be a person who intentionally releases faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, where the hell do I go? Mark 11. Y'all know about this one, right? Boy, if you're in this church and you ain't never heard Mark 11, you have been asleep most of the time. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not die in his heart, but shall believe those things which he shall come to. He shall whatsoever he. He shall have whatsoever he. So if I began to say, my mind is alert. My mind thinks the thoughts of God. I'm transforming my thinking. Cause why? I have what I say. I'm using the same faith process that I use to bring healing to my body, peace to my mind, deliverance to my soul. I'm using that same speaking process where I'm speaking to my mind. And I declare my thoughts are agreeable with his will. God causes my thoughts to be agreeable. Wait a minute. God causes me to think like him.
Yes. Yes.
I trust that my thoughts are from the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, I trust.
My thoughts
are from the Lord. Because I'm consumed with his word. I meditate in the word and confess the word day and night. Therefore, under pressure, what comes out of my mouth is what is in abundance in my heart, which is the word of God. Therefore, I declare my thinking is transformed. Everybody say under pressure. Yeah, under pressure. When we were under pressure here with this church, getting this church built, finished on the day God said. And that's the whole thing. He said on a certain day. If he hadn't said on a certain day, I wouldn't have said a certain day. He said on a certain day. And a week before that, we had no ceiling. I'm under pressure. Devil's telling me at the deliberation table, the devil is saying to me that you can call it off. And even though we had a big meeting planned here, and y'all supposed to have put my picture up there, my church building, a big church building. That's why I am on my script now. But we had a big meeting planned. Says, everybody understand? Everybody understand? But that's when what God said. So I wouldn't get off my confession. Because if I'm off my confession, he ain't got nothing to work with. Aren't you concerned about your reputation? No, I made myself of no reputation long ago. That's why persecution don't bother me.
That's good, bitch.
And under pressure. I mean, with a week away, in the natural, we were 3 weeks away from completing the ceiling. And when you look at the ceiling, you understand, if the ceiling is not in, the lights are not in. If the ceiling is not in, then the air condition is not in. And we 3 weeks away. I mean, on paper, we are 3 weeks away. Logic says you have built buildings before. You understand this. You are 3 weeks away. My mouth ain't going to say it. So Larry calls me and says, I just fired the ceiling guy. Now, I'm already 3 weeks away, and you fired the ceiling guy. Why, Larry? Because he's around here saying we can't finish. And I can't have that negative on the job site. So I told him to pack up his stuff and go. What you going to do, Larry? I'm going to do what you taught me to do. I'm going to believe God. The word went out in the city that we needed people who could hang ceiling. So guys began to show up in droves, wanting to work overtime for us after their jobs. They had regular job, but they wanted to work for us. So we put 3 crews to work.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got that now, huh? Y'all got that. So we were able to do 3 times the work. Glory to God. When the jet's falling, 43,000 feet. Jets falling. Both engines out. That ain't a time to change your confession. That ain't a time to change. Pressure is on. But what I put in my heart in abundance, that's what's coming out of my mouth. And those who were on the jet, Lady Bridget and Tina, Terry, they'll tell you. What come out of my mouth was the word. I mean, oh my God, what we gonna do? What we gonna do? No. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm telling my angels. Angels? Y'all better come on here and do what y'all got to do. I know I ain't dying tonight. Everybody say under pressure.
Under pressure.
Glory be to God. Under pressure in the hospital. In pain. And my kids can tell you. They come in my room. I'm confessing the word. I'm telling them, all that's coming out of my mouth is the word. In fact, it just, they marvel at it. They say, well, that dude really believe all this stuff, you understand? He really believe all this stuff. Because I'm declaring out of my mouth. I mean, now the pain is so excruciating. I mean, now the pain that I had when Dr. Risha prayed for me, that pain never came back. But I had some other pain that I had to deal with. And now that I'm declaring out of my mouth, you know, I'm cursing the pain. I'm declaring that my health springs forth speedily. I was having muscle spasms. You must subside, because the Bible says if I speak to the mountain, it must obey me. So I'm doing that day and night, and they're walking in there, and they almost talking about, what manner of man is this? This dude really big. Everybody said, under pressure. See, under pressure, you don't break. Under pressure, you don't bend. Under pressure, you don't give in. You hold fast. Everybody say, you hold fast. Hallelujah. I close with the jigsaw. Y'all ever heard my jigsaw close? How many ever heard my jigsaw close? Oh, really? What you say? Jigsaw puzzle champion who was being interviewed one day, and he was asked the question, how in the world could he could have such confidence when he put together, you know, 1,000 pieces or more jigsaw puzzle? And so he said, oh, it's quite simple. He said, simple? He said, yes, it's quite simple. First of all, he says, I have to believe that the picture on the box represents the pieces in the box. I got to believe that the person who organized this thing, I got to believe they gave me the right picture. Secondly, I have to believe that all the pieces are in the box. I got to believe all the pieces in the box. I got to believe that the picture reflects what's in the box. And I got to believe that all the pieces are in the box. Third thing I got to believe is that all the pieces fit together. That the pieces are designed to fit together, and all the pieces in the box will fit together. He said, but then this final thing I have to believe, if given enough time,
yes, sir,
I can put it together. So I close with this. That's what your confession is about. So you got to believe that the picture,
yes,
of God's word that he says about you, that it's the right picture. And that everything you need,
yes,
is in the box. And everything fits together right. My confession, my giving, everything fits together. Watch this. And if just given
enough time.
You just give me enough time, you're going to see my health change. You give me enough time, you're going to see my money change. You give me enough time, you're going to see my marriage change. You give me enough time, you're going to see my ministry change. All I need is enough. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. This word falls on good ground and it produces fruit. In Jesus' name.